This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program. Greetings once again. Thank you for tuning us in, and we trust that our thoughts will be helpful to you this morning. Now, again, if you would like to contact me, I will give you my mailing address and website address at the close of the program. And if you go to the website, you can re-listen to this program there. You can email prayer requests from the website, so you will need a pencil and a piece of paper to write those addresses down at the close of the program. Now, today we're going to continue with some of the names of the Lord Jesus. We've been looking at the fact that he was called the one who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. And we've noted that the Lord is eternal, that he was the one who was revealed to Moses in the Old Testament as the I Am, again, the ever-existing one. But when we come to the New Testament, after we think about the way he's presented in the book of the Revelation, we want to go back and think about how he's presented in the Gospels. And in the Gospels, we read from Matthew 1 and verse 21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Now, this name Jesus is either a name that people love, or it seems to be a name that people hate. There are those who would be very careful and reverent in the way they use this name. And then there are others who use it as a curse word. And I find it surprising that we don't use the name of leaders that we don't like, such as President Nixon, as a curse word. But it is easy to use the name of the Lord Jesus as a curse word. So this name has an effect upon people. And for me, it's a name that I love, and I hope it's a name that you love and reverence. But for many people, it's a name that they hate. And by using it in such a fashion, in a derogatory fashion and as a curse word, it's kind of an indication that they've never trusted in the one that the name represents. And we have to recognize that that name is the name of the person who saves us. His name would be called Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. And in the name, we have, as we've said before, the character of the person, the reputation of the person, and we have the authority of the person. And right now, I'm thinking of the authority that the Lord Jesus has in this world that is represented by his name. If we trust him, if we believe on him, he tells us that he has the right and the power to save us. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. But if we reject him, he has the right and the power to condemn us. Now, John 3:17 says he came not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But this name has authority associated with it. It's the name of the only begotten Son of God. It's the name of the one who came into this world to be humbled, even to the death of the cross. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. But he's been highly exalted, and God has given him the name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. You can read that passage in Philippians chapter 2. And so at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. You can love him or you can hate him now, but at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. And that's coming in a coming day. The authority and the power of that name is going to become very evident. Now, when we think of the name Jesus, the name means Jehovah is salvation. And we've tried to explain that the Old Testament Jehovah is the New Testament Jesus. We can see that in Isaiah 6, where Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And this one who first of all, is presented to us as Lord in that passage where his train filled the temple. Isaiah says, "For mine eyes have seen the Lord of hosts." And so that's the name Jehovah. And when we come to John chapter 12, it refers to that very passage, and we find out that Isaiah spoke of him, that is, of Jesus. So you can read those two passages, Isaiah 6 and John 12, and you'll find out that the Jehovah of hosts, the Lord of hosts, has become the Jesus that saves in the New Testament. Now, Joshua in the Old Testament also means Jehovah saves, and so most scholars say that Jesus is the New Testament representation of the name Jehovah in the Old Testament. You'll remember that after Moses passed off the scene, Joshua, who had been his servant, became the captain of the Lord's army in the Old Testament. And we find out that the Lord is the captain of our salvation in the New. If we were to go to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 10, we would read, "For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect or mature or complete through sufferings." And so the Joshua who led the people of Israel into the promised land and gave them victory over the people who represented the flesh at that time, he is a picture or a type of the Lord Jesus in the New. So the Jesus of the New Testament is pictured by the Joshua of the Old, and it appears that both names mean Jehovah saves. Most people think that one is the Greek manifestation of the Hebrew in the Old Testament. Now, as I look at this name Jesus, I was thinking that we could remember it by using an acrostic, J, E-S-U-S, and we would say that the J in the word or the name Jesus represents justification. And I'm so thankful that when we come to Romans chapter 3, while we find out that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, we also find that God is just, and he's the justifier of the one who believes in Jesus. And justification means that God is declaring us not guilty. Even though we are guilty, he's declaring us as not guilty, and that's one of the benefits that we get through the Lord Jesus when we trust him. J is for justification. E, I want to use that to impress upon all of us that the Lord Jesus came that everyone might be saved. God loved the world, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now, I don't have time to go into many of the doctrines associated with limited atonement, but nevertheless, leave it this way. If God loved the world, and if Christ died for the world, then if a person misses out on God's salvation, it's going to be their fault. It's not going to be God's fault. We know that the Holy Spirit is in the world convicting men of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. He convicts all men of sin and of righteousness and judgment. He does that through our consciences, and he does that through creation, and he does that through the Word of God. But nevertheless, we just need to emphasize that the Lord has come to offer an eternal salvation, again using the E, an eternal salvation to everyone who will come to him and trust in him. The word whosoever is individual, but we find that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And if your name is whosoever, you're one of the everyone's that the Lord came to save. And of course, then, if J is for justification and E is for everyone, we can see that S is for salvation. And what is the salvation that we need? Well, we need to be delivered from the penalty that we deserve because of our sin. Salvation is not only a deliverance from the penalty of our sin, but we'll find out that it's much broader than that. It delivers us from the power of sin as well. So once we are saved, we are no longer required by Satan to obey him, even though we'll be tempted to from time to time. But the Holy Spirit helps us to overcome the inward tendency to believe the lies of Satan. So we are preserved, and then there's a day coming when our salvation is going to be seen in the coming of the Lord, and we're going to be delivered from the very presence of sin. But right now, my question is, do you know you're saved and that your sins have been forgiven? When I look at the you, I think of God's unconditional love. It's interesting that as I was thinking about this recently, it seems to me that we love those who have shown kindness to us, who are family. We love those who in some way or another have made themselves important in our lives, but the Lord loved us while we were yet sinners. We find out that God commends his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And that love is unconditional, and he loves us, warts and all. When we get saved, he no longer sees us in our sins. He sees us in Christ, and we're clothed with the righteousness of Christ. And that's part of the blessing of being justified, or being made righteous, or being declared not guilty. God's love is unconditional. And we find out that we didn't love God by nature, but he loved us with an everlasting love. And he sent his son to prove that. So when we think of the love of God, and when we think of people who are depressed because they think nobody loves them, I want to assure you that there's a God in heaven that has a personal interest in you, and he does love you. Now, when we think of the S, we think of how that the Lord is the sovereign. He's the Lord. He's the King. When people use the Lord's name in vain, I keep thinking that I wish they'd say, instead of, and I'm not going to repeat what they say, I wish they'd say, Lord Jesus. I would even wish that some people who are saved would be more careful about reverencing the name of the Lord Jesus and calling him Lord, rather than looking at his name as though it were a familiar term that we all would use with our families or friends. Now, I'm not being critical if you do use it in a familiar way, but I personally am more comfortable with saying, this is my Lord, and I like to call Jesus Lord. This name is precious to those of us who are saved, and the Gaithers have sung a song, or have written a song, that I would like to repeat as we close this program. It says this, Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, 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 let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name, and I hope that name is precious to you. Now, our Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless our lesson today. Bless those who have listened. We thank you for salvation through faith in your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, our mailing address is Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa, 50849. My website address is bdcministries.com. bdcministries.com, and we do thank you for listening.